Well, this evening we'll be looking briefly at Psalm 21. If you recall, just a week ago, Pastor Lucas took us through an examination of Psalm 20. And we saw there a prayer that was made. And we're going to see another prayer that's made this evening in a partner psalm. One where we see the Lord was pleased to answer the prayers of Psalm 20. So let's look at Psalm 21, found on page 580 of your pew Bibles. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exalts. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. And through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing praise. We will sing and praise your power. We have here, as I said, an answer to the prayers of David in Psalm 20. But I also thought that this psalm carries over nicely from what we looked at this morning as we looked at the supremacy of Christ. For while this psalm, Psalm 21, certainly is dealing with and addresses the situation that was before David, it does look forward to a greater king. We looked this evening at a few passages to give us a bit of background. We know from last week that there was a battle being waged. There was concern on the part of David that there would be victory as he was engaged in a battle against the Ammonites. But I thought it was interesting to kind of set the stage with 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, where we can see and maybe better understand the amount of time that is covered during this period that we're reading about. This battle for the ultimate defeat of Ramah didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen quickly. In fact, if we see that David undertook this battle prior to his relationship with Bathsheba, we know that victory was not given to him until the latter part of 2 Samuel chapter 12, after that baby had been born. After Nathan had confronted David in his sin, after that baby had died, and even after we read of Solomon being born. And all of these things added together certainly were used of the Lord, I think, to clarify and further impress the greatness of the one who was promised upon this King David. As we look at the beginning of Psalm 21, we see that David begins by saying, O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices. There is often a great temptation that tends to befall those who are in positions of authority and power. And I think from 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, we see how some of that had begun to affect even David. Kings have this tendency, even presidents, to consider their position as the right outworking of their particular giftedness or their strengths as a leader or their strengths as a warrior. They begin to give credit to themselves for those positions that they occupy. And they begin to forsake those duties that are theirs. In the case of David, we see that rather than go out with the people of God as they made war against the Ammonites, he stayed home. He took the time off. And we see some of the pitfalls that his idleness led him into as he entered into a great season of sin. In chapter 12, we see that God was pleased to confront David in his sin through the prophet Nathan. And after his sin is called out before him, after he realizes his transgression, we see that David also is given that word of life. He is given that word that God has put away his sins. And I think that has much to do with the tenor of this psalm that we're looking at this evening. If we have those occurrences in our mind as we come to Psalm 21, as David has just been victorious over Ramah, as the crown of the king of the Ammonites has been retrieved for him, David, rather than attribute this success, this victory to himself, we see David rightly understanding that these things have all come to pass through the strength of his king. And so here is David, the king of Israel, the one who is charged to be truly a witness to the people of God, attesting to the greatness of God who brought forth this great victory. David says, in your strength, the king rejoices. And we know that this has been publicly stated by David because this is picked up by the congregation. This is a psalm that is sung by the people of God. And David had sworn in Psalm 51 that if God would open his mouth, he would be pleased to speak and testify concerning him. And so we see in Psalm 21 an evidence of that being honored, that David, one who had been the recipient of the mercy of God, of the grace of God, testifies of that wonderful work of Christ to those around him, such that the nation as well glorifies the king and glorifies the Lord whose might has brought these things to pass. You see, for David, there was nothing greater that he could attain in this life than to know that he had enjoyed the salvation promised by God, to know that his sins had been covered, that the promised one of Israel was even at work then, accomplishing these things. And it was this that was the greatest treasure to David. It is this that is our greatest treasure as the sons and daughters of God, those who have been adopted through Christ into that great family. Our exaltation comes because of the salvation that he has wrought. We read in Psalm 51 of David's pleas to God. And we see here that all of those things which David cried out for in Psalm 51, those things that he desired that he would enjoy, have been given to him by God. He's been given his heart's desire. God did not withhold the request of his lips. We read, "You set a crown of fine gold upon his head." Many commentators speculate then that this is another evidence of that timing of this psalm around the time of the victory over Ramah, that the Ammonite king lost his crown, a crown of fine gold that was then the property of David, as well as many other riches. And while those are great things, we see that David continues on by saying in verse 4, "He asked life of you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever." David had been granted life by God, as God was pleased to lay aside his sins, sins that in that old ceremonial system had no suitable sacrifice, that of adultery and murder. He had been given life. His life had not been made forfeit. And so David attests to the life that God was pleased to give, a life that could only be given by those sins of David being satisfied by the promised one of Israel. And so David here is evidencing that clinging to the promises of God for the Messiah, the coming one, the one who would take away the sins of the world. His length of days are described here as forever and ever. Now, certainly we know David didn't live forever upon the earth. David died, as did his father and as did his sons. But we see here that David is rejoicing because God has been pleased to preserve and uphold his promise to David that there would always be one who would occupy the throne. And in such a way, his days continued. And we know today that that one who occupies that throne forever and ever is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was this that David was looking ahead toward. David was looking ahead and calling upon that promise to be realized in that one who would occupy his throne forevermore. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Certainly we see that David's whole countenance changes upon this glorious work that has been carried out on his behalf. And he attests to these things to the people publicly so that they too may enjoy these truths, that they too may be comforted, that they too, like David, would look further ahead to the promised one of Israel and find in him their peace, their hope, their foundation, their confidence, and their security. And then we see a change in the next series of verses, from verse 8 to verse 12. And while it may be said of David that he would find out his enemies, you and I can look at this and see that it most clearly describes that one who has been entrusted with the duty of judgment, the one who is to come again in glory. and who will judge all of those upon the earth? We read in verse 8, your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. We see here our glorious Savior described as this one, this great king who would be victorious over all of the enemies, that there are none who can rebel against God and go unpunished. There are none that will escape his wrath or none that will escape his judgment. But rather we see the king will go forth. He will not stand idly by. He will not be on vacation. We see the king is the one who goes forth in this section to find out all of those enemies and to carry out his judgment upon them. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. We have in this series a great comfort to the people of God. There is certainly nothing within the Christian life and in God's word that would state that our existence in this life will be easy and will be without any type of hardship. For we know we exist today within a fallen world, and the evidences of brokenness and sin are all around us. And there are many who are the enemies of God who are seeking either for our harm or to frustrate the efforts of our King Jesus Christ, whether in this nation or in the other nations of the world. And yet we are comforted to know that their ambitions will not go unanswered. Their efforts will not go unanswered. But rather, our God and our great Savior, our all-powerful King, will meet each of those upon the battlefield and will be victorious. We see in verse 11, though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. We prayed this morning for the church in China, for the efforts that are being undertaken by a godless regime through the use of technology and other means to intimidate the people of God, to frustrate the efforts of those who would seek to teach the Word of God, and where God's people would seek to assemble by tearing down their churches and imprisoning them. This is the kind of mischief that is being described in verse 11. And we have already seen over these last many decades how, though these godless rulers have sought these things, they have always failed. They have not succeeded. The Church of Jesus Christ continues to grow and extend. His people continue to place their hope in him rather than despair. And we are comforted to know that they will not succeed. In fact, our prayer to our Lord is that we will see and that we will be able to identify and recognize how it is that God is pleased even now to be about that task of putting them to flight. How God would frustrate their efforts, how God would cause increase to come where they desire decrease. Where we would see the faith of God's people refined and strengthened and deepened, and roots in God's word put in far deeper through the efforts of sinful men to the strengthening of his church and its witness throughout the world. And as the psalmist began by crying out, O Lord, in your strength, we see the congregation ends this psalm once again by saying, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. For we will sing and praise your power. We've had the opportunity today to look at Hebrews chapter 1 and to be reminded of the supremacy of Christ. We've looked this evening at Psalm 21 and we've had a glimpse of our great King, His great power, those things that are to be most treasured by us, those who've been purchased by Christ, the salvation that He has wrought. And we have been reassured that He is attentive and will mete out His judgment upon all those who would seek to make war against Him and against His church. May our hearts share in the sentiment of the psalmist. May it be our delight to sing and praise God for His power and His strength in which He has done all these things. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You that You have set forth within Your Word these words of encouragement to us, these words that not only speak to the historical happenings of David, but that look ahead to one who would more fully and perfectly satisfy that role as our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose strength we have victory, and in whose work and ministry, in whose sacrifice, and in whose resurrection we now enjoy life and salvation. Lord, there is no greater treasure that we can possess than to possess the life that You have given us. And Lord, may we not take it for granted. May we not be quick like those kings to begin to attribute to ourselves the good that we experience in this life. But rather, Lord, may we be quick like David to recognize that these things have all come to pass by the work of Your hand, by Your grace, by Your mercy shown and meted out to us. And Lord, when we are disheartened as we watch the news, as we hear of the brokenness that exists and the challenges that are being made to Your church, Your people, as we are mindful of how our brothers and sisters are being persecuted for their faith in Christ, may we be comforted knowing that these things do not go unnoticed by You, and that a day is coming when You are pleased to return to carry out judgment on all those who have made war against You, and at which time those who've called upon Your name, You will lovingly usher forth into Your presence, glorifying them, that they might, for all eternity, enjoy Your presence and communion with You everlasting. That is the great desire of our heart. Remind us of these things day by day, that we might sing Your praises, that we might speak of our King to all those whom You put across our path. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.